2, The Reverse Formula. Jokes and poems frequently flip expectations, as Henny Youngman does in this saucy tidbit. The place where I worked last week is kind of run down. Between my dressing room and the room where all the circus girls change, there's actually a hole in the wall. But I don't care. I let him look. Following the well-trodden path from the ridiculous to the sublime, we arrive at Gerard Manley Hopkins' Spring and Fall. Margaret, are you grieving over Golden Grove unleaving? Leaves like the things of man you, with your fresh thoughts, care for, can you? By poem's end, we learn, counter to expectations, that it is the blight man was born for, it is Margaret you mourn for. The end of the poem is not wholly unanticipated, but there is something about the final sententious utterance that gives one the sense of a revelation in the moment. 3, the exaggeration formula. One of the best jokes ever written, Allen claims, was, and here's a third Allen, Fred Allen's line about a scarecrow that was so scary, the crows not only stopped stealing corn, they brought back corn they had stolen 2 years earlier. Overstatement produces a powerful rhetorical effect, though linguistically it can be a bit unstable. Leacock, in an earlier book, Humor, Its Theory and Technique, 1935, rightly identifies the half-life of hyperbole. No sooner is its effect felt than it is absorbed into the language and recirculated beyond its ability to move us. The very familiarity of words weakens them, he tells us. To say that a man is incensed or melted sounds quite literal and ordinary. We have to find new exaggeration. Thus moves language. Poets relish overstatement and are forever pushing things further and further. The whole tradition of commendatory verse, for example, lives by exaggeration. And exorbitance is a commonplace of Petrarchanism. After endless Italianate moonings by poets in the 16th century, Shakespeare comes along to clear the air in Sonnet 130, though he himself could hyperbolize with the best of them. My mistress' eyes are nothing like the sun. Coral is far more red than her lips red. If snow be white, why then her breasts are dun. If hairs be wires, black wires grow on her head. This canny downplaying brings us to the opposite end of the spectrum, understatement, or what Leacock refers to as meiosis. Understatement, he believes, probably flourishes more among English writers and English people generally than anywhere else in the world. English people abhor sentimentality, the overdone expression of feeling, prefer to keep their sorrows silent rather than to parade them, and admire reserve and reticence. He gives some amusing examples. It will be recalled, he chortles, how the war news from the North Sea used to call it certain signs of activity when two or three warships clashed together, and when the Germans bombarded the Yorkshire coast spoke of this as liveliness. For examples of comic British understatement, simply perform sorties Virgilianae anywhere in the works of P.G. Wodehouse, whose unique gift was for understated hyperbole. Or consider this eyebrow-raising account by Jude Sheeran of Cool Under Pressure. In 1982, a British Airways flight lost power when it was engulfed by volcanic ash over West Java. The pilot told his passengers, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We have a small problem. All four engines have stopped. We are doing our damnedest to get them going again. I trust you are not in too much distress." The engines were restarted and the plane landed safely. Understatement, it seems, is woven into the British DNA, Sheeran continues. One can find it way back in the old English epic Beowulf, which contains the line, "That sword was not useless to the warrior now." For other examples of English understatement in martial poetry, A.E. Housman is the great master. Here is the last stanza of number 36 from his posthumous More Poems. "Here dead lie we, because we did not choose to live and shame the land from which we sprung. Life, to be sure, is nothing much to lose, but young men think it is, and we were young.